Chapter 11. Plans for our publishing work. While at Fresno, I passed through a peculiar experience. In the night season, I was in an assembly where a number of the brethren were in council. There seemed to be a cloud over the company. I could not distinguish faces, but I could hear voices. At first, I could not understand what was said. Afterward, I heard plans outlined in regard to the way in which the publishing work should be carried on. The assertion was made that this work should be placed on a surer basis, that changes should be made, that the plans which in past years were formulated for the advancement of the publishing work would have to be remodeled, that it was a wrong policy which had led to the development of the printing and publishing of books in so many places, that the Echo office and the Nashville office were too large, and that the work, if wisely adjusted, would be so arranged that the greater part of the printing and publishing of our larger books would be done at Battle Creek. When I heard these propositions, I thought, what do these things mean? I have been instructed that the arbitrary rule at one time exercised in Battle Creek to control all our publishing houses is never again to bear sway. To make such propositions as these is more like going back to Egypt than on to Canaan. While the men proposing to bring more of our publishing work to Battle Creek cannot see what this would lead to, I know from the light given me that such changes as were proposed would bring into the publishing work a ruling power claiming jurisdiction over the entire field. This is not God's plan. No man's judgment is to become such a controlling power that one man will have kingly authority in Battle Creek or in any other place. In no line of work is any one man to have power to turn the wheel. This God forbids. Many more things were said, and I became more and more heavily burdened, because I knew that the great changes proposed would take us back to where we should have to wrestle with the same difficulties with which we wrestled in past years. I knew that those who advanced these ideas were blind as to their sure results. Then one of authority stepped forward and said, "The plans that have been made are not to be torn to pieces. Instead of doing this, the men who are handling sacred things are to cease looking to men for wisdom and begin looking to the one from whom alone any man, great or small, learned or unlearned, can receive wisdom. A change must take place in the hearts of all who have any connection with God's work. At this stage in the publishing work, matters are not to be so arranged that one human being shall be voice for the whole, or that any one group of men shall become a ruling power, having kingly authority." The propositions made in this meeting regarding the publishing work were originated in blindness and throw no light on the situation. A time of great perplexity and distress is not the time to be in a hurry to cut the knot of difficulty. In such a time are needed men of God-given ingenuity, tact, and patience. They are to work in such a way that they will hurt not the oil and the wine. Too heavy responsibilities are not to be placed on any one man. In the direction of the canvassing work, the Lord will reveal His power and grace through different men in all parts of His vineyard. He will use men of Christian experience, men who are daily growing in grace and in a knowledge of the truth, men who are capable because they are yoked up with Christ. Let those in positions of responsibility accept the Savior's invitation to wear His yoke. "Come unto me," He pleads, "all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. The advice that was given to Moses when he was overburdened with care and perplexity is of highest value to those who at this time are in positions of responsibility in God's cause. The counsel given him should be carefully studied by those entrusted with the management of the work in the Lord's vineyard. No one man, or set of men, is to have supreme authority to shape and control the policy of the workers in the entire field, even with respect to the canvassing work. For every section of the country, and especially the southern field, which has been so long neglected, has its peculiar features and must be worked accordingly. Let men be willing to understand these features, and in their work for these fields, prepare themselves by putting on every piece of the Christian armor, not forgetting to wear the gospel shoes. The Christian armor. The apostle says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Ephesians 6, verse 11 to 18. My brethren, these are the directions given you by God. Let no man complicate or mystify the plain directions given by the highest authority. Preach the word. Speak according to a "Thus saith the Lord," with all the earnestness of the Holy Spirit. Never remove from your feet the gospel shoes. Be sure to keep them on. Your feet are always to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Observing carefully every direction that the Lord has specified in regard to the Christian armor, you will walk before Him softly and will work discreetly. You will not carry with you any yokes to bind men to your plans, nor will you attempt to make the Lord's workers amenable to any finite mind. The maxims and precepts of men are not to control His laborers. Let no man be placed in a position where he can lord it over God's heritage, for this imperils alike the soul of him who rules and the souls of those who are under his rule. No man is so advanced in experience that Satan will not assail him with temptation. The more responsible the position a man occupies, the fiercer and more determined are the assaults of the enemy. Let God's servants in every place study His word, looking constantly to Jesus, that they may be changed into His image. Let them not put human wisdom in the place of the wisdom of Him who is the light of the world, the Son of righteousness, our peace and assurance forever. The efficiency and the inexhaustible fullness of Christ are at our command if we will walk before God in humility and contrition.